Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm super excited to welcome our guest, Jason Yerusi. Jason, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. Psyched to be here.
Yeah, awesome. I've definitely heard you on, you know, many different podcasts and really just appreciate so many things about the way you look at life and business. So excited to hear your story. Will you start us off by just giving us some general background on, you know, where you are in real estate and kind of a little bit about your journey so far?
Sure. So my name is Jason Yerusi. Myself and my wife, Peely, we own Yerusi Holdings. It's a multifamily investment firm we founded back in 2016. We currently live in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. We just recently moved to Tennessee about 7 months ago. We invest in multifamily properties where we can go in and reposition the assets to make them really just better communities to live. And that self-serves not only the tenants, but also helps us grow the income and help our investor counterparts there. And with that, we have about 850 units, give or take, with a couple assets we're bringing on into the portfolio and a couple that we're selling across about four states.
Okay, awesome. So that's definitely pretty amazing what you're doing today with multifamily. Can you give us a little bit of color about how you, you know, kind of got to that level?
Sure. So actually, Peely and I met in the restaurant world back in 2003. So we met in many different worlds. We were in New York City at the time we met working at a bar. Actually, Peely was managing it. And throughout that, we went through a number of different phases. You know, she and I opened some restaurants. I opened sold breweries, all that in New York City. And then back in Hurricane Sandy happened 2011, 2012. My dad, he has this construction business that's targeted towards flood zone properties. And he was in New Jersey. We were in New York City. And his business went from just, you know, a business to a business that exploded overnight with the need for all the storm work. Well, at the time, my brother was working for us and we decided in New York City, we decided that we're going to go out there and help dad take on all this business that was in front of him. It was one of those moments that we just, you know, made that decision like we do a lot of things in life, but we didn't have the end goal. We knew this was a stepping stone. So we got out, helped dad with the business. It was great, but we just knew that this wasn't going to be our full route, right? So we were very active in something that we liked helping dad. But we wanted to find a way to just control our days and control our outcome. Peely was pregnant with our first child. You know, this was getting into 2013, into 2014. And we just knew there had to be some other direction for us. And so we started actively doing real estate. However, we went down the more active path. Peely got a real estate license. We started flipping, wholesaling, doing Airbnbs, all these things that required a lot of our time, right? And so here we have this very crazy construction business. And we've just added things on top of that to make it even more crazy. And so what we found, we're like, whoa, okay, we're going further from the goal. We're going further from the destination. Let's look at this further. And what we found is that we started doing some rentals out of state. You know, saw a friend who was doing this successfully. Mm-hmm. And we started modeling the process where he was buying some rentals out of state and putting together teams that could go in there, renovate the properties, get them rented, get property management in there to do the day-to-day. And we modeled that, really that whole process. However, there were small things, two, threes, and four units. And we thought this was the way until we discovered that it just wasn't going to be scalable, right? It was great. And all of a sudden, we were able to just use our time to put people in the right place so they could get things done with us managing the process instead of not doing the process, and checks start showing up. So fantastic. But to get to our goals, it just seemed crazy, right? We have all these duplexes across town. It just seemed like we were going to get into logistical nightmares. And I came across large apartment investing, and that was like the aha moment that I was like, that's it. That's what we could do there to maximize our time and our usage of energy to be able to go in there and target it all towards a larger property instead of being really segregated across a lot of smaller properties. So we sold those small properties and all in on large apartment investing. And we went all in. took all of our time to just and resources, just learn everything about how this was working, who was doing successfully, how to model this. And it brought us to our first acquisition, which was in May of 2017, a 94 unit that was in Louisville, Kentucky.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a really great story. And there's a lot there. And I want to just see if you could, I mean, you touched on this, but if you could expand on that aha moment of just, you know, because so many people, when they think about real estate, obviously they're thinking more about single families. That's just the natural course. Can you speak about that aha moment a little more?
You know, it's that point where it's got to align with your goals. And for us, like there's a lot of people who do flipping. They love it. They love the activity of it. They love just all the cash that's coming to all these parts, but they're very busy unless they structure it out the right way. We were having that aha moment that there was only one of her and one of I, and we were going to have kids coming in on parts, so our time was now going to need to be in other places. And the way we were going right now is that we were doing more than we could physically should be doing. And we weren't able to accomplish everything we wanted to accomplish because we had too much on the plate, right? So it was like we were trying to carry 73 plates when we really could carry 12, right? And so to look at that, something had to change, right? Either we go in this process, which happens a lot in life, where people get down a destination and they just can't get off that highway, right? Or we have to make a change. We have to make a radical change. We have to make something that's going to alter our course. And that's what multifamily. So it just was that it was great getting the checks without our use, but getting $1,000 or a couple thousand here, it wasn't going to change the narrative to that point. But if we did it larger scale, if we did it on this bigger vessel, right, you could put more energy into one spot, right? So if we focus all of our energy, it's like, do you go a mile deep or a mile wide, right? So if we go a mile wide, we're not going to have much impact. But if we can go a mile deep just on one property, that's a large property, and mentally do all the work there to go after and understand the benefits of that, that's where we could have the most impact, which also creates the most payoff.
For sure. I really like how you broke that down. And just for our listeners who are maybe getting started, how did you actually get that first 94 unit? I'm sure you could speak at length about it, but can you just tell us a little bit about how you got that 94 unit across the finish line?
So we got really specific with what we want. Many times we fail because we're not specific what we want. And so we assume anything will work, but we don't know what that anything actually could be, right? So if you tell a broker, I want to invest in multifamily property, then any property they send you, they think will be good, right? But you, in your mind, kind of can tell very quickly you don't want it, but don't ever do the hard work of what you actually want. So we got very specific. We want 75 to 150 units, BC assets built between, you know, 1970 to 2000 in the south side of Louisville. And so that was our target. We got very specific. And what happens there is we empowered people that they can now help us because they're going to send us stuff in that part. But we also were very targeted in our mind where it's like when you want to buy a car and you start like, I want to buy a blue Chevy Tahoe. And then now you see it everywhere, even though there's not more on the road. We set in the motion, the reticular activator in our mind. So we started really having that focus. So it allowed us to get very, very, very strong on how those properties would really be able to operate. And so when we started offering on these properties, we could tell what would work and what wouldn't work. And we found this property offered on it, but we were very far off. And so it wasn't a deal that worked at that time. But what we did is we tracked it and we tracked our deals to see if they closed or if they didn't. And 6 months later, 7 months later, we went back and offered on this property again when it had gone dormant because they were just asking too much. And the asking price cut down $600,000 and then another $300,000. And we got the deal done at $2.3 million when they were originally asking $3.2
million. Awesome. I have a question about maintaining focus, you know, because sometimes I feel like it's when you're taking in information, it can be easy to be like, well, maybe I should be doing this instead. So how did you maintain that laser focus on, you know, the type of unit in South Louisville? You know, how did you say, okay, I'm going to just not focus on other markets or other asset classes or et cetera? Like, how did you maintain that laser focus and feel comfortable with it?
Yeah, you know, we always have the fear of missing out, right? And we always have this part where like the grass is always green on the other side of the hill. And what we forget to look at is that like, there's a lot of people out here doing this. And if we're going to be everywhere, we won't be anywhere. And so if I'm looking at Louisville, and then I'm looking at the west side of Louisville, and then I'm looking at Lexington, and then I'm looking at Oklahoma City, then I'm looking at Memphis, well, I can't tell what's a good deal from a bad deal. Because a $6,000 a unit deal in Memphis might be a horrible deal. And the $120,000 unit ask price for a unit in Memphis might be the great deal. But because we don't know anything, right, we can't be very dialed in. And so when you get to this area, you think you have less possibilities, but you actually have more because you're creating good possibilities. So maybe if I looked at all these markets, I get 100 deals, but I get a one deal that comes across that's a good deal that I can get to. Where if I am in these areas of Louisville, maybe I get 10 deals, but six of them are good because I've now put all of my energy to serve the area. So I can be the pro of the area. So I can be really quick to act. So, because if you send me a deal today in Wichita, Kansas, don't know it, right? So now I'm gonna have to go through all the steps. I don't have a team. I don't have the location built out. I don't know the area. I don't know the product. I don't know the upside or the downside. So I have such a hill to get over just to even get to the part to see if this is even worth something to underwrite further to make an offer compared to being in markets where I'm very specific and I can know very quickly whether they work or not. And I can be first in line to make the best offer to have the best chance of having the property come our way.
Yeah, makes sense. I think that less is more the way you broke that down. It's like, if you can actually, you can put more offers in on more properties if you are able to do it quickly and, work those relationships specifically.
Yep.
And just like focusing on just reminding yourself that like the less is more, like if I just focus here, I will get more done. So I like that. So I know Peely, she's awesome. Can you speak to how you guys built your, how you guys run a business together?
Yeah. And so it's easier than you would think from our side because we met working together, right? So the relationship became the new part to it, right? And so we met on working together on many levels that we understood. And so when we became a couple, that was the newer side. And so when we've gone into business, that same thing, right? We have the conversation, like even when COVID started, like we didn't know the direction COVID was going to go. Nobody did, but we already had to talk that like, if something came up that would be potentially impactful, I would go all business. She would go all family. We have those talks beforehand, just like any partnership. Like you have to have some of the talks that are potentially uncomfortable because it gets you away from having things that are uncomfortable actually happening. So for us, we've just very clear on what we do, right? And so she's out there, she loves talking to people, she loves being in front of people, she loves doing all the branding, the marketing, and going out there talking to, and raising capital, working with investors, helping us with locations, and I handle really the money side of just getting everything structured, structuring the deal, finding a deal, working with the brokers, getting the deals closed, run the deal, right? And so we're clear in our roles and allocation. And even on partnership side, I find that there's a lot of disruption is because most people don't have that conversation. And so they go in and they're not clear their strengths align. And with that, if you're friends, most of the time you're both in the same, you're both like carbon copies of each other. So you're both serving the same strengths. And now you get into this partnership and you're both having disruption because you're weak at the spots that maybe you need the help in, but you never had those talks up front. You just assumed maybe the other person would pick it up.
Yeah, for sure. I think that makes a lot of sense and you're just really clear on your roles. And does that translate into how does that work with your life? Like, does your business and life ever separate? I mean, you're together all the time.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, lux-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Yes, it's a constant work in progress, right? So we try and make it that when we're at work, and with the kids, we're at the kids, right? Because there's a gap here where we could be at work and feel bad that we're not with the kids and then not really self-serving what we need to do at work. And on the vice versa, then we're with the kids and we're not doing work because we're feeling bad about work and we're not self really doing our just with the kids, right? So you have to have that break. Now, is it perfect? No, because we are a couple and work. However, we try to bracket it to the points as best we can, right? But in life, like, things go in seasons. Like, you're never going to have this perfect balance where we're like, yep, we're balancing everything perfectly. Like, that just doesn't exist. But we have that time when, you know, we were really pushing to close this deal last week. So there was a lot of energy going in there because there was some things that were really our problem. There were some title issues. They were trying to clear up. We just had to be a lot more active than I'd want, but that's what the season called for, right? So we were into that very intensely. And then now this week, Peely's family's here. So we're spending more time being with family, doing things on that part, because now we can afford to do that, right? But that's how, why we do this business, right? And also why we've now put the focus to continue to push forward in this business.
Yeah, for sure. Makes a lot of sense. And ideally, like, when you construct your day the way you want it to on your weeks, then, I mean, but sometimes I do find like, well, now this is a closing week and family's in town. How do you manage that? You know,
you just be present when you can.
Yeah.
And you know, family is family, and they're family for a reason, right? And so they will understand, right? And there's points where there's a time we get things done, and then we have to move to the next thing, right? And there are certain things in your plate that sometimes can drop from both a work side, right? Like, sometimes we feel like we have to do everything, but sometimes things can drop. Mm-hmm. Like, do I have to, like, and email is like this thing, like, we get 7 trillion emails for the next, like, throughout the course of the night. Like, I don't need to stay up all night and answer emails, right? There's certain things that, like, if I don't get back to here in like the next 27 seconds, it's fine, right? Like, that's okay. And it took me a while to notice that, but there's gonna be certain things that you have to do. And then certain things that you can wait a day to, right? Because there's things that are more important. And when we talk about aligning, where's the level of importance, right? So the family, the fitness, the finances, like, where's our energy? Then we can make sure that we're aligning what we're doing with that energy.
Yeah, for sure. So I know you've talked about the 100-mile mindset before in terms of just getting a lot done. Can you speak to that? Give us an idea of how you think about that in your life?
Yeah, you know, I started thinking about this when I run ultra marathons. What came to mind is that, like, if you think of something that you haven't achieved, it can be scary for you to do and keep you from doing it. And many times we have these big grandiose goals, but we don't think about the failure side. We think about the success, right? We're scared to accomplish it because, like, oh, I want to go out there and create this legacy company. I'm going to be able to pass on to my kids, going to serve these parts. And it's so scary that you can't get out of the starting gate because you're thinking about the end goal, right? So I'm going to be 75 and my kids will have nowhere, like, all these things. But because you don't have a resource to track against, or you don't have that actual being done of doing that process, you never get started. And what I found is that running a 100-mile race, if I was to just focus on the 100 miles, I would never get out of the gate, right? Because, okay, let's start. And then, okay, 21 hours later, 22 hours later, I'll be finished, right? Well, most be like, oh, it's too much. I can't do it. But if you just think about, okay, what's the first thing? What's that first thing? Okay, so can I get 5 miles to the drink station? Can I just get there and figure it out? And then you get to that first step and now you've gotten a win. And then you get to that next step and you say, okay, can I just get to the next aid station? And then, so now you're at mile 12 and then, okay, you get there. Well, can I just get to the next aid station and then the next one? And you do this and maybe you're at mile 40 and then mile 50 and then mile 60. And then that might come, can I just get to the bridge? Can I get to the tree? Can I just take another 500 steps? Can I just take another 300 steps? Can I just run 327 feet, right? And then all of a sudden, you're at the finish. You're at the goal and you look back and that was 100 miles. And that can be our goals. If we stop thinking about the goal and start looking at the journey and start thinking about the first actual step to take, the first thing to do, because that's all you need. You don't know all the questions to ask along the journey. You just have to think about the first one to learn the question. And so many times we want all the answers, but we don't know any of the answers because we don't know what questions we should ask. And the journey gives us those questions. The journey opens up those questions for us. And so when we start down the path and we start to that first stop and we say, okay, cool. Well, I've got the question. And that's how you continue on your journey to your goals. And that's how you accomplish your goals.
Yeah, I really like how you broke that down. And it's so easy to get overwhelmed or overly excited about getting to the finish line. But it's normally people don't break it down into smaller steps, you know, just getting to that next aid station, like you were talking about, then it can, maybe you'll never get started, right? So
that's, well, it's like most, it's like New Year's resolutions, right? Most don't get started, or like 88% fail because they've set the goal so out far of where they're mentally ready for. And so they've scared themselves off the ledge instead of just saying, well, what can be that first goal? And like, instead of going out of the gate, like you're going to be at the goal tomorrow, like, where's the rush? Like, what's that first thing I need to do? And then tomorrow, can I do the next thing, right? And can I compound and compound and compound?
For sure. and just keeping on going, you know, taking those steps forward just can go so far, you know, in the end, if you just keep doing it. So,
100%.
You know, Jason, you're someone who I think of as like a very balanced real estate investor. And I know that, you know, you think a lot about how to actually live a fulfilling life. And can you speak to that? How do you do that? Do you have any, you know, tips for the listeners?
You just have to be concrete with your goals, and they're going to change over time, right? So your goals, you know, we started when we got into real estate and we were thinking that the active side was going to be it until we discovered that it was not aligning with big goal overall, right? To really just control our time, control our day, and control our outcome. And so when you think about you and you, what you want to do, you have to ask yourself, like, what do I want? Because many times what we want is we think is justified by seeing what somebody else wants, right? So we see a picture of somebody with like a fancy car, or we see somebody on this like great vacation, or we see someone and we assume that's what we want, right? And so we start thinking like, maybe that's my goal, but we don't have anything in power to like that being our why, like what we actually want. And so if we stop thinking or going after what we think we want, and when we ultimately don't want that, and we start really targeting, what do we want? Why do we want that? And most importantly, what happens if we don't get it? And that's usually the most powerful question. And that can give you the grounding to really start setting a course for you to go after. Because so many times we just see stuff and we just assume like that, oh, I must want that, right? Because you see it on Instagram, and but you don't want it. You just see it and think that, well, that must be the goal. That must be what it was. But if you had that, like, I didn't want this, you know, like, so it's usually that part of, we have to get clear to ask ourselves why and continue to ask ourselves why until it really becomes true to us. So we have, it's like having, like going bowling, and I hadn't been bowling in years. We took our kids, but they have those bumper things in the bumper and to keep the kids from like rolling a gutter ball. And that's like sometimes like our course of action, right? Like, so we have to have those bumpers on the sideline so we don't get off the course to where we want to go, but we may bump around from side to side, but we're still on the destination towards the direction we want to go to.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have any sort of tips for like how to actually keep kind of getting to that deeper why and keep asking yourself, like, what do you do? Do you journal every day? Any thoughts on that?
Purely journals. I meditate. I think it's the, you know, you have to learn to find bigger problems and to understand where things are actually things you need to do and that will serve you and things that won't serve you. Because you find in life, like we can all think about something like today that happened 5 years ago that you thought was the end of the world, right? And today, like, oh, it wasn't a big deal, right? But at that time, right, we thought it was the end of the world. So we have to understand that every moment we just, time is our limited capacity. And every moment has to not be used with us pushing. It's just that we have to take the time to clear our minds, be patient with the outcome and with our steps to go forward, get up, take time to control yourself and control your day. Get up before your kids, get up before the day starts, get up before you have to be late for work, get up before, you know, you're going to be stuck in traffic. Get up and take the time to give yourself the space to take control of you. So when the day starts, you can make good decisions and every decision doesn't start like chaos. What has really been helpful for me is I get up and I have a pattern in my morning, and this happens before Peely's up, before the kids are up, before anybody's up. So as the day comes up, days are going to go the way they go, but there may be something that happens that's not ideal. And instead of allowing that to derail me because my whole day since the moment I've been up has gone completely out of control, well, I've taken control of my day. And now when that comes up, I can deal with it because I've taken the time for me first.
What do you do in the morning before everyone else gets up?
Yeah, sure. So I get up, drink a cup of water, have a coffee. I meditate. I do some brain, I go work out. And typically I'll come back, and when I'm done working out, then Peely will have been up maybe 1, 2, or 3. The kids are up depending on when they come out of bed and they're having some breakfast. I'll go spend time with the kids and Peely will take her time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And when you're meditating, are you like, what are you trying to do when you meditate?
You find that you're trying to do less. I think that part is our brains always want to go, 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 but you have to give yourself the ability to notice distractions, but then allow yourself to have them. And it's like touching that feather, like, okay, you're there. And then back to having that space for just your mind to clear. So what I'm trying to do with meditation is I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just trying to be there and be present. And things are going to come up. My mind's going to want to go off. My mind's going to want to wander off. And then when you notice it, just notice it. But back to say, okay, that happened. Now back to just taking the moment to be present. And that used to be a harder thing. And I still have my struggles with that. But that's usually the key to meditation is just noticing distraction and not punishing yourself for it. And many times in our day, right, we have things happen and we punish ourselves for them to happen. But you just have to allow yourself the time to say, okay, that happened, back to what I'm supposed to be doing.
For sure. Yeah. I really like all of that. And before we sign off, I wanted to just touch on, you know, we were talking before the show about this deal that you did or that you're still in. And I have a background in affordable housing finance. And so it's really, I really love hearing when people are in this space are, you know, offering affordable housing. So could you just walk us through that deal a little bit?
Sure. So 65 units in Louisville, Kentucky. It was one of the submarkets we like. And the property was owned by a nonprofit. The nonprofit had something set up that they had a home loan on the property where they offered, they were given a forgivable loan from the city in contrast for offering a select number of units, 13, at an affordable rate. So for that, that was a loan and the agreement goes through 2029. So we found this opportunity. We love it. It has a ton of potential. It's in a great neighborhood and we were able to buy this property and improve the buildings, improve the operations and do all the things we do. And we're able to take on this forgivable loan and this affordable housing component and then really just maximize the potential of the property and still be able to benefit for giving this affordable option to these 13 units.
Okay. So how did that having that those affordable units impact the financial outcome of the deal? Like, were you just, was it something that was like, okay, well, we're still able to make the deal work, you know, even though we have these, how did that play out?
It's interesting because the rents there were so low because honestly, we could be anywhere $750 to $825 when we get to pro forma. And we're talking $450 to $525 on some of these affordable units. And based on income, we were at an 85% allowance and that would take us up and think into the low 700s. So it didn't have a huge impact at this point because we had such a delta of where the actual rents are to where the rents could go to. But we still have been driving those units and keeping those units at a pace where we're keeping them at a pace that they're not pacing with the other units that we're taking direct to market. So it doesn't have a major impact and the deal works well serving this narrative right here. And then also you couple in with the forgivable loan, it adds a lot of other resources that come with this property.
Yeah, for sure. And I know we were talking about how the nonprofit was. Can you speak about that program and if that program is still being implemented?
Sure. So I don't know if it's still being implemented, but I guess they help with housing for people and they were running this housing that have poor credit and they help them get their credit back online or improve their credit so they can go out and buy the houses that this nonprofit is building. Now, the nonprofit themselves, I know they're still doing the building side. I don't know on the rental management side. We took off the property because the operations were just not happening at a level as they could. I think it was, they had a lot of different businesses going on at the same time.
For sure.
So they are doing the housing component, offering, you know, housing for people or helping their credit better, but I don't know if they're still doing the multifamily component.
Okay, got it. Yeah. So I just really love that, you know, you guys took this on and are, you know, preserving affordability in the apartment complex. And so thanks for going over that deal. It's helpful to just know how you can make that work in today's market. So thanks so much, Jason, for coming on. Is there anything else you'd like to leave the listeners with? Any ways for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. So you can find us at yerusiholdings.com or you can look for me on Instagram at Jason Yerusi. Yeah, love to hear from you guys.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I hope you reach out to Jason, check out his Instagram. And Jason, it was really a pleasure to have you on the show and look forward to seeing you next time.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.